we each could tell the story of how he brought us here and gave us hope, and he banished all our fears. But from our many differences, his love has made us one. This song we share has only just begun. All the glory belongs to Jesus. All the praise belongs to Him. All that I am or ever hope to be, all the glory belongs to Him. What now is only mystery, one day will all be known. Perfected, we will stand before His throne. Our Lord will be the sun and moon of shining endless days. The heavens then will echo when we sing. All the glory belongs to Jesus. All the praise belongs to Him. All that I am or ever hope to be, all the glory belongs to
Amen. Thank you, quartet. That was a blessing, and that is true. One of the great sins we commit is stealing His glory for ourselves. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we shall begin to read in verse number 1 and read through verse 38. Now this is a very long chapter, but I'm not going to read all of it, but a great portion of it. I want you to see the context of what God is doing and what God is saying. For in this passage here, there is a promise and a warning made to Israel, and I believe that there part of this is a prophecy that relates to us today. And I want us to be mindful of that as we look at it. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read in verse number 1. Now this is God speaking through Moses. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself, and He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure. A heaven to give thee the rain unto thy land, and in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearkest unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Look at verse 15 again. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of my God, of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, then all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then beginning in verse 16 on through the rest of the chapter, he lists the curses, and I'm going to read some of them. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexations, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the blotch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, which thou canst not be healed, from whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind groped in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and thou shalt be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore blotch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. There shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations. Whether the Lord shall lead thee, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. And I could read the remainder of this chapter, but, dear friends, on and on and on, God tells the people what He will do to them. if they don't observe His word and His commandment. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. God's promise and warning to Israel could be for us also. Father in heaven, help me tonight as I bring this message, and let us understand the meaning of it, the importance of it, and how it affects me, and what's my responsibility to this. How does it affect us in 2007 as a church of born-again baptized Christians? What does it have to do with us? Speak to our hearts tonight and prepare our hearts for the things that are coming up in days ahead, our missions conference, our Sunday school campaign, and all that shall be going on as we prepare to do special things and see great things happen for Christ's sake. Now, we need your help tonight as we preach. This is not an easy message. It's got a long introduction. Help me tonight as I try to preach it to be clear and concise, and help our people to listen on purpose that they not miss the meaning of the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Before we get started in the sermon, let me remind you that the promises God made to Abraham and to the descendants of Abraham because of Abraham's faith is ours today by faith. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, and you ought to read that. In that chapter, it tells us that God's promises for Abraham was not just for Abraham only, but those that would come after him, the descendants of Abraham, but not the physical descendants only, but the spiritual descendants. And that's referring to us. Those of us like Abraham who are saved by faith have these same promises that God has given to Abraham. Now, Romans 4 verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, that's the Jew, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So he lets us know that the promises of God that were made to Abraham and his descendants are our promises also today. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, the Bible says, for all the promises of God in Christ are yea, that means yes, and in Him, amen, that means so be it, unto the glory of God by us. So, I want to say to you that part of what God is saying here to Israel, I think can be taken in a realistic sense today by God's people if we will accept and do what God is saying here in the Scripture. Now, my text verse is found in verse number 12. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in His season, and to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I think that is an Old Testament command, and it is also an Old Testament prophecy. It is the Old Testament parallel to the New Testament Great Commission. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. And don't you discount this because it's in the Old Testament. We have a bad habit of saying, well, that's just for the Jew, and it's not for us today. But according to the Word of God, a lot of those promises God made Abraham are just as realistic for us today as they were for him, because we are children of faith, just as Abraham was. Now, I believe this passage containing promises to Israel and a warning is also prophetic for the child of faith today. Just as God entrusted the writings and the preservation of his word for the rest of the world to the Jewish people of the Old Testament, he has entrusted the gospel and the word of God to Christians who make up his church to carry that gospel to the rest of the world today. I believe that's what the Lord is referring to in verse number 12 when he says, "The Lord shall open thee to unto thee his good treasure. Thou shalt not lend, or thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." God is saying, Christians, I want you, my people, on the giving end of the good treasure, the gospel, and not on the taking end. And he says, if you don't listen to me and obey me, then I'm not going to bless you, I'm going to curse you. Now, it's important that we understand this. Moses goes over the laws to govern their relationship to each other and their relationship to other nations, as well as their relationship to God. The book of Deuteronomy is a book of transition. It's a transitional book. You see, their deliverance from Egypt is behind them. They've received the law of God, and even their wanderings in the wilderness is over. They're on the eve of their entrance into the promised land. In verse number 1 in our scripture, God speaking through his servant Moses promises to make Israel the greatest nation on the earth if they'll do two things. Those two things is, number 1, listen to what God said in his promises and warnings, verse 1 through 13. And then secondly, do exactly what God tells them to do. That's a very simple, simple requirement. Listen to what I'm saying and do what I tell you to do. He said, if you'll do this, I will bless you. I'll make you into the greatest nation on the earth. He said, I'll bless your fields, I'll bless your family, I'll bless your business, I'll bless your herds, I'll bless your land, I'll bless your country. There's nothing about our life that God does not bless with blessings if we'll learn to listen to what he says and do what he says. We start getting in trouble with each other and with God when we stop listening and stop obeying. May I tell you that our problems today is not because God is a mean God. It's because we don't listen and we don't obey. We lose blessings, we lose privilege, we lose standing, we lose respect. We don't have his power when we fight an enemy. God said, if you'll just listen and do what I tell you, and the enemy's attack, they'll come in one way and they'll leave seven different ways. I'll send them running. But he said, if you don't listen to me, the enemy will come in and you'll run. Sounds like Vietnam. Sounds like what they want to do in Iraq. Now God says, folks, what I want you to do is very simple. Listen to my words. Listen to my promises. Listen to my commandments. And then do what I tell you to do. Just listen and obey. Listen and obey. You know, most of the problems in my life as a kid growing up with my mom and dad and with in school, it was because of those two things. I didn't listen and I didn't obey what I did here. May I say that most of the problems our kids get into in school and in life is because they don't listen or they don't obey? Just very simple. When they listen and obey, they can be at the top of the class. They can have the respect of everybody. When they don't listen and they don't obey, they're in a world of trouble all the time. That's the way it goes if you're an adult. That's the way it goes if you're a child. Listen and obey and you'll be blessed. Stop listening, stop obeying, and you'll be cursed. Now, that's very simple. That's very simple. You listen to what God says in verse 1 through 13 and then do exactly what He tells you to do and you don't have to worry about the rest of the chapter. You don't have to worry about the cursings and the judgings and the enemies and the whippings. Verses 1 through 14, God tells us what He wants us to do. Verse 15 through 68 is a continual warning to Israel and to us as to what God would bring to pass against them if they did not listen to what God said and do what He told them to do. Now there are 14 verses of promises given here and 59 verses of God's warning if they don't do what He says. You know, one would think that God's instruction to receive His blessings were simple enough. Just listen and obey. Listen and obey. Then why are we in the trouble we're in? Why do we get ourselves in the messes that we get in? Because we don't listen and we don't obey. We don't listen and we don't obey. Even though the message of God was so simple and so plain, Israel failed miserably. They live most of their lives being judged and not blessed. Israel did not listen. They did not obey. And here is a principle from God that's still in practice today in 2007. Listen to God, obey His word, and be blessed. Ignore God and His word and be cursed. Be cursed. You know, in our early years of America, America practiced this principle and became the greatest nation on earth. Back in the heyday of America, revival was sweeping through our country. People were getting saved, lives were being changed, cities were being rearranged by the power of God. God was blessing our people. I'm sad to tell you that America as a nation and churches with their Christians have ceased to listen to God today and obey Him. We're more interested in entertaining than in obeying. We're more interested in what we can get from the service instead of what we can do to obey God and enjoy His blessings on our life. I'm here to tell you that if I've got to have a choice between popularity and God's blessings, I'm going to take God's blessings every time. I'd sure like to have people like me, but I can live without that. I can't make it without God's blessings, and neither can you. I'm sad to tell you that we've ceased to listen to God. We've ceased to obey Him. Look at our churches. Look at the carnality, the worldliness. May I say to you that it's not the world and the devil that's necessarily printing all of the changes in the Bibles and all of the different music. It's so-called Christians in the church. Carnal, worldly, people that say they know God and love Him, but they're more interested in pleasing flesh than Him. Revival's been replaced with crime and gangs and evil in our cities. God raised up Israel that they might carry the wonderful story of God and His Christ to the nations of the world. But the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. And God has turned them to spiritual blindness as a nation. And that'll be so until the tribulation and the millennium, when the scales will be lifted from their eyes. And they'll see spiritually once again. Every nation of the world is against Israel today. Israel don't have many friends. If you scratch America off the list, almost ceases to exist of friends. Now that's not what God said would happen if they'd listen and obey Him. But it's exactly what God said would happen if they didn't obey Him. God had a purpose for them. Not just to bring Messiah into the world, but He wanted them to carry His good treasure to all nations and to all people. God's not forsaken His plan, even though Israel forsook God. He still wants people and nations of the world to hear. He's raised up the church. And that's our purpose as a church. To carry the gospel, God's good treasure, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the reason for the Great Commission today. I believe that that's the reason American Christians in America was so blessed for the first 175 or 200 years of our country's existence. We as Christians in America and as churches were faithful to give out the gospel to the nations of the world as God called out a people for Himself in these last days. Now, let me make some spiritual application to Christians and to churches from the passage we've chosen for tonight's message. Verse number 12. So shalt thou lend to all nations and not borrow. I believe this is the Old Testament version of the Great Commission of the New Testament. We're to give out to the world what has been given to us. And may I say, the greatest treasure heaven has ever given is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The story of Jesus coming down to this earth, dying for sinners, paying our sin debt, coming out of the grave with life and a promise of justification to all who believe upon Him. That's God's good treasure. That's heaven's greatest treasure. The gospel message. That gospel is wrapped up in a person. You take Jesus out of this gospel story and you don't have good news. In America's greatest days and greatest years, as much as 98 cents of every missionary dollar given came from Christians and churches in America. And God's great blessings were on us nationally, on our churches, and on God's people individually. Now for my message this evening, I want to point out a couple of simple truths for our consideration as we approach our missions conference just 4 weeks away. Number one, verse number 12, God promises to those who hear and obey His word that He'll open unto them His good treasure. Verses 1 through 11, God tells us all the ways He'll bless and prosper us if we'll listen and obey His word. God desires, you do understand, God desires to prosper His children. Now, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel or a prosperity theology. But God does not intend for His children to be beggars or to go wanting like an honest father here. He wants His children to do well. And our Heavenly Father wants His children to do well. He wants us to be blessed. And He wants to be the source of that blessing. God desires to prosper His children. You know why God desires to prosper His children? Not so we can hoard our increase, and not just so we can spend it on gadgets and items, although God is not against His people enjoying the benefits of God's blessings. He's not against nice houses and cars and clothing at all. But that's not the primary reason He blesses us. The reason He wants to bless us is so that we'll have monies, we'll have the ability to carry the gospel to all nations. He wants us to be on the giving end and not the getting end. He wants us to be the ones sending out the gospel instead of being like Israel, having turned away from Him. We're sending missionaries to them. We must never forget that all we are as a person and all we owe, all we have, we owe to God. Everything we have is from Him, and in reality, it is all His. The fundamental rule, first fundamental rule of stewardship is that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. It's His by creation. He made it. He owns it. It's His. We've got to understand that. We must never develop the mentality of, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'll do with it what I want to. God gave it. God can take it away. It's from Him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from Him. It's from God. And God blesses us, as Paul teaching in the New Testament, that we might be able to be a part of every good work. He blesses us, not so we can just hoard. See, God's blessings is not just so we can boast. God's blessing is not so we can strut. God's blessings is so we'll have more than we need in order to give out to those in the world. And let me say to you, when He talks about lending, I don't think He's talking about money. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the truth. He's talking about that which is of greater value than dollars and cents. You see, what this world needs is not more money. We give the world more money, they'll find more ways to sin. We give the world the gospel, and they'll find out there's a reason to live and a purpose for our life. And that's in Jesus Christ. Look at Israel and their blindness today. Look at Israel and the hatred of the nations. It's just exactly what God said would happen. And hey, it's not as bad as it's going to get. It's going to be worse. It's going to get worse. We're coming to the place when we don't have many friends either. All we have is from Him, and in reality, all we have belongs to Him. The Bible says we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave it with nothing. Somebody asked the question, how much did Rockefeller leave when he died? He left it all. Left it all, every bit of it. We come into the world with nothing, we leave with nothing. In between our coming into this world and leaving this world, we are at best stewards for God. God would have us to listen to Him and obey Him so He can bless us, and we can use that which He blesses us with to give out to the rest of the world. He said He'll open heaven and give us His good treasure. Where'd Jesus come from? What's the greatest gift of all ever given? What's the greatest possession we can possess? Answer's Jesus in all cases. Jesus as Savior of our soul. Jesus, God who became flesh. Jesus who bore my sins upon Himself. Jesus who died and arose again with salvation to all that believe. Jesus is man's greatest need in America, and Jesus is man's greatest need on every continent in this world. We give them food, clothing, they can still die and go to hell. Something's amazing that happens when we give them Jesus. Not only does their life change, their spirit change, and their purpose in life changes. Their kind of living changes. The gospel doesn't push people down further. It lifts them up. And gives them a purpose worth living. And take you to mission fields where in times past without the gospel, it was a barren, less than a third world country. No streets. They cooked outside on open fires. No private facilities. No modern conveniences. No roads. Mode of transportation, same as it was in Abraham's day. A missionary goes in with the gospel. I mean, the people ran around naked with dung in their hair. And a missionary goes in with the gospel. And people hear the gospel and begin to get saved, and their life begins to change. Their family begins to change. Their living standards begin to change. You see, the gospel doesn't push you down, it raises you up. Sin pushes you down and wrecks and ruins and destroys. These same villages now have streets and lights and homes and families and government and order. Children are running around dressed, happy. What's the difference? The good treasure of God. Jesus Christ, the gift of God. Heaven's choice jewel to a needy world. We're stewards over the material blessings God has entrusted to us. And we're stewards over God's good treasure, the gospel He's entrusted to us also. First Thessalonians 2:4 says, "For as we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but pleasing God, which trieth our hearts." What are you doing with God's good treasure, the gospel? Are we to enjoy it and just keep it for ourselves? No. No, 10,000 times no. Are we to store it up and preserve it by keeping it inside the church? That's what many people in America think. Don't go out and witness to anybody. Don't talk to anybody about Jesus. Don't sing any gospel songs or religious songs. Keep it confined to the church house. No, that's not the will of God. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We come to church to get fueled and fired and stirred up to carry the gospel out there, up and down the streets and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to lend it, to give it out to all nations and to all people. And here's a warning. If we're not faithful to give it out to all nations, we'll soon lose it ourselves. And someone will be sending it to us. Let me tell you a country that's a perfect illustration. There was a time when most missionary works came from England. Some of the greatest churches and greatest preachers were in England. The printing of the Bible, the Word of God. In part had to do with those who were from England and in England. But England became Calvinistic, modernistic. If you can find a Baptist church over there anymore, they don't give invitations anymore. After church, you have to go to the inquiry room and seek somebody out. If you know what you need. They're so cold, so formal, so dead. England is becoming more and more secular and atheistic when it used to be the heart of sending out the Christian gospel around the world. What happened? You stop losing it. Using it, you lose it. There's a principle in our Christian life. You use what God give you, or you'll lose it. If you've got a talent and you don't lose it, or use it, you'll lose it. You have the ability to sing. You don't use it for the Lord and train and keep it in practice. Before long, you won't be able to carry a tune. You'll use it or lose it. That's a Bible principle. And it has to do with giving out the gospel. We either use it and give it out. Before long, somebody will have to be sending it to us. Giving it to us. Let me move on quickly. Also in verse number 12, God has promised to bless the works of our hand and to make our land fruitful in order that we might lend to all nations. I've covered this. I'll hit it just quickly and move it on. As Christians and as a church, we have in our hands, in the form of God's Word, God's good treasure. It's God's good news of free and eternal salvation for lost sinners everywhere. And I need to ask you tonight, what are you doing with God's good treasure? What are you doing with it personally? You know, you can go with it. You can take it up and down the street and tell people about it. Or you could go to a nation if God calls you. You can go with the gospel personally. You can use God's blessings over which you're stewards to send the gospel to the nations of the world where you can't go. You can support missions. You can give above your tithes and offerings to send out the gospel around the world. And I've got to ask you, what are you doing with what God has already put in your hands? See, our problem tonight is what I'd do if God would do certain things. If I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to God. If I had 500,000, I'd give it half to God. I've told you the story before about the two country boys from East Texas walking down the street. One said to the other, "Buddy, we're buddies, aren't we? Been buddies for years." "Yeah, we're buddies. Best buddies." "That's right. If you found $1 million right down there in the road, would you give me half of it?" "Well, of course, buddy. If I found $1 million there in the road, I'd give you half of it." And we're buddies, aren't we? "Hey, buddy, if we went around the curve and you found $500,000 there, would you give me half of it?" "Why, sure, we're buddies. I'd give you half of it." "Hey, buddy, we're buddies, aren't we?" "Yeah. If you had two pigs, would you give me one of them?" "That's not fair. You know I've got two pigs." God's not interested what you would do if. What are you doing with what you got in your hands right now? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing with your job? God would have us to lend to all nations. Now, God can bless you greatly as you listen to Him and obey Him. That's what our Faith Promise Conference is about, challenging you to ask God what He'd have you to do for world missions. And then, having listened to God, obey Him. In reality, when we send out the gospel story, we're lending to God, we're lending to God and not nations. Because it's God that gives it back to us. It's God that blesses us. I want to consider the word lend for just a moment. The word lend does not mean just to give. The word lend indicates that you're going to get it back with interest. You're going to get it back with interest. You go to the bank. Hey, some of you got a plastic credit card in your pocket. Some of you have let Citibank or Capital One or American or whatever lend you some money through your credit card, and they expect you to pay that back with 19, 20% interest in some cases, 16, 13. They're going to get it back with interest. You go to a bank, borrow money, they'll loan it to you and they expect to get it back with interest. That's what lending is. And God says, you give out my good treasure. Give it out. Lend to all nations and not borrow. God says, you'll get it back with interest. That interest will come from God. That interest will come from heaven. Oh my, what a great concept that God has designed. It's not the nations that pay us back. It's God who repays us with His blessings. And then lastly, according to verse 13 and 14, and the rest of this chapter, God promises the Christian who lends to all nations the following. He said, you'll be the top, not the bottom. I love this. He said, you'll be the head, not the tail. He said, you'll be blessed and not cursed. All of this is true on this basis, that we are to listen to what God says and obey Him in lending God's good treasure to all nations. And I asked you tonight in conclusion, what are you doing with what you have in your hand? Well, if I get a raise, no, what are you doing with what you've got? Some will keep it for themselves and end up losing it all. The same people that tell me I can't get ahead are the same people that don't give to God. They don't do anything unless it benefits them. What are you doing with what's in your hand? Some will keep it for themselves and end up losing it. Others will obey God and lend to all nations. And God will bless them and say, I'm giving it back to you with interest. With interest. Have you ever been blessed of God? Have you ever been blessed and you knew this came from God? Yes, isn't that wonderful? Have you ever been cursed? Have you ever been under the judgment of God and knew this is from God because I didn't listen and obey Him? God says, I don't want that for you. I want you to listen and obey in order that I might bless you. And here's what I want you to do. As you're blessed, I want you to lend to all nations. Send out the gospel, the good news. Be on the giving end, not the getting end. And I promise you, I'd rather be right with God giving the gospel around the world than not being right with God and our country go into darkness and secularism and turn away from God and my grandchildren have to depend on someone from Mexico or Brazil or Romania to send the gospel over here to us. No. Father, just a simple principle from the Old Testament. God, help us to learn it.